Carl Fisk had a lot of little boy in him right there.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field.
Hello and welcome into a brand new season of baseball, which means a brand new season of Beyond the Base Paths. Alongside Gabe Cordoba Hawthorne, I'm Josh Franz, and we couldn't be more excited to bring you more baseball. Gabe, what did you notice from this offseason that caught your eye?
There's quite a bit of stuff this offseason, but the biggest thing, in my opinion, was how the Diamondbacks handled Justin Upton. We all knew they were going to trade him. They were picking up outfielders from free agency left and right. And even though he is just 25 years old and could possibly be one of the best, in my opinion, best hitters of all time, they decided to trade him. And many thought that they were going to get someone great like an Elvis Andrews, some shortstop that could be a stopper, be someone that could always be there for him. And really, in my opinion, they got nothing for him. They got Martin Prado from the Braves, but he cost $8 million, and Justin Upton cost $8 million. He's a great outfielder, and I feel like they sold him pretty cheap for the value that they could have got for him.
Yeah, it just seemed like they were sick of him, sick of the situation, and they got rid of him, but didn't realize that they got rid of a hell of a lot of talent and didn't get much in return, so it's definitely a loss there
for
the D-backs, and a great win for the Braves. He gets to go play with his brother and compete for a division title and who knows what else. There were a couple things that caught my eye. First off, I love the fact that small market teams are having a chance to be successful in Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. I think it's a great thing for baseball. I think all of us are tired of seeing people like the Mets, the Yankees, those high market teams that can just spend their money and essentially buy championships. Although we do see the Angels kind of pulling a Yankee philosophy, but it is nice to see teams like the Orioles and the Rays kind of make a run even though they don't have the money.
Right. We'll get to our picks in just a couple minutes, and you'll see. I mean, we don't go with traditional powerhouse teams. We've got some new teams that we're picking with some different situations, but I don't want every big market team to be unsuccessful. You know I'm a Dodger fan. You know I'm happy about the Josh Beckett acquisition that we had late last season. I'm happy about Zach Greinke. I'm excited about Adrian Gonzalez. Yep. I'm looking for this to be a fun and exciting year, one that we haven't seen in the past six or so since Manny Ramirez was making a name in Southern California. So I'm excited for this Dodgers season.
Yeah, and one more player. You got to remember, Carl Crawford, you got him in that deal. That's a great leadoff hitter. Although he didn't play tonight for you guys, come after the All-Star break, as soon as he gets his legs and his arm under him, he's a great everyday left fielder. We all saw what he did in Tampa back in the day, the reason why the Red Sox paid him so much money. I honestly still think he can be that player. You don't really lose speed.
I think so, too. He's a great table setter at the top of the order. He can cover a lot of range in left field. He's an athletic guy that can steal bases for a Dodgers team that hasn't really had a consistent stolen base threat in a long time. I mean, who knows with Hanley Ramirez and D. Gordon if they're going to stay healthy or stay in the majors in D. Gordon's case, if they're going to have a threat there. But Carl Crawford, I'm excited about to set the table at the top of that Dodgers order. Now let's get away from the NL West to the opposite and go to the AL East and start our picks there. Who do you see winning that division, Gabe?
I really think that the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays, are going to be able to pull it out. I like Joe Maddon a lot. It seems like every year that the team just doesn't have the payroll to compete with teams like the Yankees or the Red Sox, but they seem to pull it together, whether it's through fundamentals and pitching. They still have David Price as the ace of that line of the rotation, and I think that they have a lot of good to come. Not to mention they have Fernando Rodney, who led the majors in saves last year, and he's a good thing at the back of their bullpen. And they always have, as long as Evan Longoria stays healthy, the lineup is going to be a threat.
Right, and I think this is going to be a three-horse race the entire season. With the Yankees and Red Sox not being a part of it, it's going to be the Orioles, the Blue Jays, and the Rays. And it's because they've signed well, they've done well in trading, well in free agency, not overpaying guys, and they've been able to develop their own talent and more power to them. They're doing something with less money and less of a big city than the Yankees and Red Sox can do. And it's a more exciting brand of baseball to watch because they're playing the right way. I don't have the Rays or the Blue Jays winning the division. I'm going to go with the Orioles. They won the wild card last year on pitching and defense and timely hitting. And that just isn't stuff that goes away overnight. I like the coaching and the managerial leadership that they have there. And so I'm going to pick the Orioles, finished in the wild card last year when the Yankees won the division. I think the Yankees are going to take a big slide down, mostly because of the injuries, but also because everybody's getting old and you don't know how guys are going to how they're going to age, and it's just not their time anymore until they get some new 25-year-olds in the system. You don't know what it's going to be. So I have the Yankees sliding down to maybe fourth or fifth with the Red Sox, and then these other teams just bumping up, competing for the division. But I do have the Orioles winning it.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a treat to see, too. I mean, I do root for the Red Sox, but, I mean, I do love seeing these small market teams do well and compete
absolutely
with the big market teams. It's just fun to – it's just really fun to see. I personally, I have Baltimore winning the wild card, competing with the Rays up top, and I just don't think – although how many times have we said that the Yankees are getting too old and – They end up coming back, and so we can't really count them out, but I don't think that they're going to necessarily win, make it into the playoffs for the first time in quite a while. But Robinson Cano can carry that Yankee lineup if he gets hot and they ever find themselves in a bind.
Well, yeah, on this show last year, I picked Robinson Cano to be my MVP. He obviously didn't get it, but he still had one hell of a year. And he's making a case to be one of the best hitting second basemen that this game's ever seen. He's a five-tool player, and he's great defensively, and there's nothing that he can't do. We'll see if second base is a prominent enough position where you can lead a title from it, because that's not something we've seen in the past. But
if any player's going to do it,
it's going to be Robinson Cano.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, you mentioned your wild card pick. You said, who'd you say you had from the East?
I said I had the Orioles. I think that they're gonna compete. I think it's going to come down to maybe the last couple weeks of the season between them and the Rays. But both of these teams, they're built very similarly. I like it because it's in the American League, but they play more of a small ball kind of a feel. Win it with pitching, win it with bullpen, and then get a couple runs.
I love the idea of scrapping for runs. I don't think you can overvalue any run ever. So when you're doing anything you can to play for those small innings, get one or two runs at a time, I think that's a great brand of baseball and a good winning mentality.
Absolutely.
I actually don't have any wild card teams in this division because I think all five teams are going to be 90-plus wins, but nobody's going to really be a 100-win team because everybody's going to be competitive. They're going to beat each other up. It's going to be a tough, long season for all five teams, and nobody's going to really extend themselves as by far the best team in the division or by far the second-best team to have a good enough record to compete with some of the weaker divisions in the league.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, that division could easily just beat up on itself with how good everybody is, mainly offensively. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. And then, so who do you have winning the Central Division, Josh?
Oh, well, as we're moving along to the Central, I like a team that really has the best pitcher in the American League and the best hitter in the American League. When you have that combination, you're set up for success. I'm going with the Detroit Tigers. Miguel Cabrera coming off a triple crown year, one of the best seasons Major League Baseball has ever seen. We don't obviously expect him to put up the same numbers, but relatively.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't expect a big drop-off.
Yeah, he's not going to necessarily win the triple crown, but he is absolutely going to contend for a batting title, for the home run lead, and for the lead in RBIs. The man can just flat out hit the ball. And with Prince Fielder protecting him, and now they have a Victor Martinez back. I think that's another bat to add to that lineup. And yeah, you gave every case. I agree. I think that the Tigers are going to run away with the Central, actually.
I do too. It's not a very competitive division. I think they can play their brand of baseball, do it well, and be on a hot streak going into the playoffs. I don't see why this team won't be able to make a run far into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. They just got to do kind of what they did last year, as long as they get them. I mean, they probably don't want to start as far back to try to catch up to the White Sox, but as long as they can just kind of turn on that button towards the end of the season where Justin Verlander gets hot, Miguel Cabrera, and everybody just kind of, Max Scherzer, if he doesn't, I think that if he doesn't get injured at the end of last season, I think that they can win that World Series matchup, but that's neither here nor there. I think that they have a good chance this year of making another run in the playoffs.
Right, and a guy who I never get sick of watching is Torii Hunter. He's on the depth chart listed as their number one right fielder. He's just a guy who's been in the game for a long time now, always done it the right way, always with a smile on his face. And
yep.
He'll make some incredible plays in right field this year, not a doubt in my mind. And he'll just be a fun guy to watch to add to that stacked lineup that is the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. Having Torii Hunter hit 6th or 7th is never a problem to have.
Right, kind of like we see Nelson Cruz hitting 7th in the World Series for the Rangers.
Yeah.
We'll get to the West in just a second. I don't have any wild card teams coming out of the Central either. I have both of mine coming out of the AL West. Do you have any in the Central?
I don't have any wild card winners coming out of the Central, but I do think my sleeper team, I think, in the American League is going to be the Kansas City Royals. I really like what they're doing with that offense. They were bad for so long that eventually those draft picks, all their draft picks, high draft picks that they were getting, were going to come through.
You have to make right decisions and develop them correctly eventually.
Absolutely. And we're seeing players like Eric Hosmer, Moustakas, Alex Gordon come up through their farm system and start to become players just good players in the major leagues. We saw Eric Hosmer compete for the USA and the WBC, and that just kind of shows his growth as a hitter facing major league pitching.
Right, that's high quality pitching, and he did a good job against it. But yeah, I think the Royals will compete. I think they're still 1 or 2 years away from competing for a wild card or a division title, but I like the progression that I'm seeing out of them, and they'll continue to grow and mature and maybe be a threat down the line in the AL Central.
Do you think that they'll win over 81 games?
I think that's right about where they'll be, so that's a tough
at
question. I didn't expect you to throw that on me there. You know, I'll go out on a limb. Hey, they win 83 games this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to go over 500, which would be quite a feat for a bad Royals team for pretty much most of my life.
Right, and that Royals team, 83, 85 wins, whatever you want to call it, that could be good for second in the AL Central. And that's
easily
a great starting point for this team moving forward.
Easily.
So now let's move on to the West. This is one of the most stacked divisions in all of baseball. Who do you have winning it? And
Minus the Houston Astros.
Right, and I'm guessing you have a wild card coming out of there, too.
Yeah, I have the Angels winning that roster. They took the Rangers, arguably the Rangers' best player, and added him to their team, a team that already won 90-plus games, just came up short of making it to the playoffs, but still, like I said, won over 90 games. They didn't get any worse, that's for sure.
Right.
And Mike Trout's only going to have another year to get even better, and now the focus is not on Albert Pujols. So I don't think we have to worry about him having too slow of a start. Although his knee is bothering him a little bit, I still think he's going to be able to perform well as a season starts.
Is it insane to call Albert Pujols the third best hitter in a lineup?
Yeah.
Because Mike Trout and Josh Hamilton are in their prime. Or we don't know if Mike Trout's in his prime. That's going to be something phenomenal down the road if he isn't yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's ridiculous. Albert Pujols, a first ballot future Hall of Famer, is your third best hitter. And it's not like he's not like Chipper Jones was last year as a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a guy who's still going to hit you 300, 320 with 30 home runs and 100 RBI.
Yeah, absolutely. He hit 298 with 30 home runs and 98 RBI last year.
And that was after a terrible start.
Yeah, absolutely.
So assuming he starts typical Albert Pujols style, he's on set for a phenomenal year again.
He could win an MVP. It's like every year in the National League, you couldn't go wrong with picking Albert Pujols. And then he went to the American League with this big contract, and everyone sort of forgot about him because of that bad April. But he could easily win MVP in the
American
League.
Name an AL West MVP candidate, and I'm just going to guess he's on the Angels. And so that's why I have the Angels winning the division also. Listen, they have Josh Hamilton, Mike Trout, and Albert Pujols. Hitting wins you regular season. Pitching wins you in the postseason, wins games for you in the postseason. So I see no reason why they won't be able to run the table in the AL West.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And so now, do you have any wild card teams coming out of the West?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Oakland A's. I liked what Melvin did with them last year. I think that they're a good young team. They did it with pitching. They did it in close games, like you said, with the Orioles. And I like what their team brings to the table. They have a good closer in Brian Cook, and they have good young starting pitching that's coming up, and I think is going to continue to perform well.
I agree with everything you just said. I have them as one of my wild card teams also, with the other one being the Texas Rangers, because both teams are pretty much where they were last year when they competed, and nobody else has really risen amongst the secondary teams in the American League to take a wild card spot away from them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Mariners might compete a little bit. They always have Felix Hernandez, which gives them a guaranteed about 15 to 20 wins. But I think that they're going to be able to beat up on that terrible Houston team that they're going to see more often this year.
The only way that I don't see both the Rangers and the A's making the wild card is if the Yankees and Red Sox are that bad to where the Blue Jays and Rays win the wild cards in the East.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But you said that you had the American League teams all winning, or AL East teams all winning 90-plus games.
I do. So I don't expect them to be that bad. But if injuries hit more so than they do now, the Red Sox don't have a deep line. If the Yankees are already hurt, we could see a terrible, terrible season for them, and that gives the Rays and the Blue Jays a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, going off that question, then how many wins do you see the A's and the Rangers having then? If everyone in the AL East is going to have 90-plus wins and not make the playoffs other than one of those teams, that means that you have three teams in the AL West winning 95-plus games?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
They're going to beat up on Seattle. They're going to beat up on Houston. And remember, the Interleague play always favors the American League clubs because they're better. So they're going to go out and play against weaker opponents every night. There's an interleague game now, which is a completely different topic that I don't want to get into.
So interleague, there's no like specific set weeks for interleague play. It's just like
it's 15 and sporadic. 15, and if every team is in a series, two teams are going to be playing.
Exactly. So, but I mean, like,
there's no interleague season. It's all combined.
Interleague set. Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's why the Angels opened up their season against the Reds.
Well, yeah,
how
weird
is that to
see? They didn't. They not only didn't bring a rivalry, they brought teams, one in the NL Central, one in the AL West.
Yeah.
You would think maybe they do, I don't know, Yankees, Mets, or Dodgers, Angels. Something that grabs attention in a big market. Which brings up a better point. Why in the world are the Houston Astros hosting the first game of the Major League Baseball season?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Maybe Houston was guaranteed one ESPN spot the whole year, so they felt kind of bad for them, and they let them face the Rangers. But
they won the game.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
give them
more
credit.
Power to
but
them.
But there's no reason for them to be the first game of the year to get everybody's excitement and attention for the season. My only guess would be somewhat of a similar deal to that. They said, hey, go from the NL Central, which is not a great division, to the AL West, where you're going to struggle, and we'll give you opening day.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Exactly. I mean, give them a little bit extra money, maybe.
There's got to be some incentive, because there's no way Major League Baseball gets the best ratings with Houston hosting opening day.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, in the end, it is the first day of baseball. All baseball fans, they've been waiting all offseason for me. I know, personally,
I've been excited for a long time. I watched the Rangers game in its entirety.
Exactly.
I woke up the next morning and I watched the Yankees-Red Sox games at 10 in the morning. I watched the Giants-Dodgers game at 1. It was a baseball day.
Doesn't get much better than that.
I love it. It's my favorite time of year. Not necessarily now, but October, November, when the playoffs are going and the races are in. Baseball's
absolutely
my favorite thing in the world. Nothing's going to change that.
Yep, absolutely. So now we head over to the National League, and we'll start out in the East. Josh, who do you have winning the NL East?
The East is going to be tight. I have a two-team race in the NL East, and I think they're the two teams that most people have.
Probably the two best in the National League, in my opinion.
You think the Nationals and the Braves?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a little disrespectful to the defending champs, but I don't mind that because I don't like the Giants. but yeah, I have the Nationals winning the division. Strasburg looked phenomenal in his debut. 7 innings, 80 pitches, shutout baseball. There was no reason to leave him in. The game was pretty much in hand.
Yep.
Even though it was only 2-0 off of two solo shots from Bryce Harper, who looks like he's coming into his own. His goal is not to be the best player in the NL East. It's not to be the best player in the National League. His goal is to be the best player in baseball. And right now, you know who's motivating him more than anybody else? Has to be Mike Trout. Because he does not want his name to be the second best rookie his year. He wants to be the best player of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not saying he's going to be or going to be anywhere near it, but that's his goal and his aspirations, and he's fighting hard. And he's going to be an MVP candidate in this league for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great guy to watch. I mean, he just hustles every single play. Doesn't take a play off.
Every time.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's great to see someone with that kind of talent work that hard. And, like, you see all these players, like a la Hanley Ramirez, who has all this talent in the world and just kind of loafs it out there.
I'll make a football analogy exactly like that. He's got Jerry Rice ability with – I'm sorry, he's got Randy Moss ability with Jerry Rice type
work ethic. Absolutely.
And that's the difference. I mean, Randy Moss had all the skill set to be the best wide receiver of all time.
Yep.
But he didn't come out, he didn't show up every day. He didn't go 100% in workouts all the time. He took plays off on the field. He yelled at his coaches. Like, there was just so many things. And Bryce Harper does none of those things. He's a workout monster. He hustles out routine ground balls.
His team loves him.
You can't dislike the guy if you're on the team.
Yeah, and now he's hitting in the three hole for the team. I mean, he's just going to do it all for him. And I think that he's going to help the Nationals make a run. And like you said, with Strasburg, I mean, that guy can pitch lights out, and he gets a full season this time. It'll be awesome to see what he gets with a full season.
Yeah, that team with a healthy Strasburg is dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now let's move on a little bit. Well, never mind. You got to give your NL East team. It sounded like you were on board with the Nationals. But if you want to go with somebody else, feel free.
Oh no, I like the Nationals a lot. They are one of my wild card teams. But I think that the Braves, with their new acquisitions that they made, are going to pull out the NL East. I think with that up and a hay combination out in the outfield. That they're just going to score too many runs, that they're just going to win enough regular season games. And I think a very not going under the radar for that team is Freddie Freeman at first base. He is a power-hitting left-hander, and he's protected now by so much other power that between the two-hole hitter where you have Jason Hayward to the six-hole hitter where you have BJ or five hole hitter where you have BJ Upton, you make one mistake and it's out.
Yeah, you can have five runs in a matter of a blink of an eye with that roster, and that's why I have them as my wild card team. I think they're a team that may lose a little bit because Chipper Jones is gone. It's a great clubhouse guy, a leader. You see him throw out the first pitch before he's more than a day retired. But it's a team that's going to fight. And you know they're going to fight all year long, 162 games. It's the way they're built. And it's just in their blood now to play hard all season long and win games. Yep. They've done it for such a long time. It's in the franchise now to just be done.
And they got the man Craig Kimbrell at the back of that bullpen, which if you get the ball to him with a lead, there's a good chance that you're winning the game.
It is such a gift to be able to shorten the game. Yep. There are only so many teams in baseball that can do it. The Yankees are one of them. The Braves are one of them. You don't have too many elite closers in the game of baseball. Yep. But when you can shorten a game to 7 or 8 innings, it makes it that much easier.
Especially with that bullpen. They pretty much, as long as their starters can get them 5 to 6 innings, they have a good chance of winning really any game.
That's right. And I think they'll win enough to be a wild card. You think they'll win enough to win the division? We have the Nationals and Braves flip-flop there. Let's move on to the Central. Who do you have, Gabe?
I got the team that won the Central last year. I'm picking the Reds. I think that they're going to be hungry off what happened to them in the playoffs to the Giants.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, going up 2-0 and a best-of-3 series, you expect to win it almost, especially coming home. And then to lose 3 in a row at home, they've got to be hungry. They've got to be hurting. And I think Dusty Baker is going to have this team prepared to make a run at the division title. They have Joey Votto, Brandon Phillips, and I just think that they're going to be able to make a run. And I don't really think that there's much in the Central to contend with them other than, obviously, the St. Louis Cardinals.
And that's who I have winning the division. Unfortunately for the Reds, I don't think hunger and dreams and aspirations and all that stuff that sounds great will lead to enough victories this year for them to be successful. I have the St. Louis Cardinals based on a roster that hasn't changed much, a pitching rotation that's stacked, and a lineup that's formidable enough to win you baseball games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that offense is going to crush balls every single outing. Every single night out, they have a chance of putting up 5 to 6 runs, and as soon as David Freese comes back, they are even scarier.
That's right. And that's why I have them winning my division. I think the Reds are going to be contenders this year, but I don't even have them as a wild card.
Not even a wild card.
I don't, and I'll tell you who my wild cards are in just a minute when we get there. You heard the Braves were one of them. I think you can guess who my other one is. But that second wild card team is going to be tough. And it's going to be a fight till the very end. I think the Brewers are going to compete. The D-backs are going to compete. The Reds are going to compete. I think the Braves are going to get one. And I'll just tell you now, the Dodgers, my hometown team, is going to get the other in the West. You roll your eyes at me now, but you can make just as good of a case for him as anybody else. And there's no reason why, with that talent, that payroll, they shouldn't be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. They have arguably the best or second best pitcher in the National League.
Oh, how do you not call him the best pitcher? He's led the league in ERA the last 2 years.
In terms of pure talent, I think Strasburg is better in terms of what you've proven so far. Kershaw. I'm not taking anything away from Kershaw.
It sounds like you call Kershaw the second best pitcher in the league. Okay. That is disrespectful.
1B. Is that so hard?
If Strasburg is 1B.
No. No way.
How? That's ridiculous. Okay, fine. We'll disrespect Kershaw, call him the second best pitcher in the West.
They have the best hitter in the National League, I believe, in Matt Kemp. And I think that they will contend. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they snuck out that second wild card spot, but I think if they're going to win a wild card spot, it's going to be the second spot. I think that the Nationals and Braves, I could flip either of those two for the division title as well. I think that they're going to, they could, both of those teams could win 100 games, and one of them could win 100 games and get a wild card spot, and then possibly not even make the playoffs. But I just think that my second wild card team, the Phillies, I think that they're going to be able to hold off the Dodgers. I think with Roy Halladay.
So you have both wild cards coming out of the East.
Yeah, I have three teams coming out of the NL East. I think we're both in agreement on the Nats and the Braves. They're two of the better teams in the National League. And then I think the Phillies are going to be able to contend with them as soon as they get Chucherese back. He's going to solidify the battery. They have Cole Hamels. He's great. Roy Halladay, they didn't trade Cliff Lee at the trade deadline, and that I think that's going to be huge for them, honestly. He took him forever to get a win last year, but I think that was kind of a fluke. They have Ryan Howard to start the season. They have Chase Utley, and they have Jimmy Rollins. And I think their biggest hole is going to be their outfield, but I think that infield is going to be able to hold them together.
Yeah, if this team's healthy, they've got a chance to be successful. We haven't seen them healthy in a long time, so we don't know if they've aged gracefully or not.
That's fair.
So that's why I don't have them making a run, but I do have them as a contender. We'll see what they can do. They're going to have to show me something at this age before I can predict them to be successful down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. I guess I'm more picking them based off their names and what they have been. This is a team that made it to the NLCS, I believe, 3 years in a row.
But that was 4 years ago now.
It's a very similar team, very similar core to the team. That's the only reason why I think that they have a decent chance of competing and possibly winning a second wildcard spot. We got to remember, this second wildcard spot really changes everything in baseball because you have much more of a chance of being a mediocre team like the Cardinals were last year and still making a late run and then making the playoffs just because you can be down by the first wildcard spot by 10 or so games yet still make the playoffs.
It's a lot more like football now where you just have to have a pretty good regular season, get hot late in the regular season, and if you're hot headed into the playoffs, anything can happen. In hockey, you get behind a hot goaltender. In baseball, you get behind a hot lineup with some timely hitting. Maybe David Freeze is throwing a little bit in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And magic can happen. But let's move on to the West. And with the defending champion San Francisco Giants, Buster Olney's been healthy two of the last 3 years. Those are the same 2 years that they've won World Series titles. Is there any reason to doubt they won't be successful again this year?
No, I don't think there's any reason at all. They're on top until someone knocks them off. I mean, the Dodgers look like they're handling them all right in this opening series of the season, but
the Dodgers started hot last year too. It's all about the later months of the season.
I think a key to them is Matt Kemp's health. But yeah, the Giants. Every time I don't expect much from them ever, really. But every time I watch them play, they look like a great team. They're built very well, and then that pitching staff is terrifying.
Right, they're built for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
As I said earlier, you get to the playoffs with your lineup, and you win in the playoffs with your rotation. And they've been able to do that. Even Tim Lincecum, not successful. Bring him in the bullpen, find success.
Yeah.
There is nothing that they can't figure out. Where did he come from? Phenomenal for the A's, terrible for the Giants, World Series hero. Progression does not make sense.
I want to win a World Series, so okay. I might as well. I'll be worth my money this time, I guess.
Yeah, I guess when you make a decision, it's so frustrating to see as a Dodgers fan, the lineup you don't think is going to be successful, but then it is. And at this point, I just assume it's going to be successful year in and year out.
Absolutely.
And there's no reason for me to doubt the Giants won't win the division. As I said, I have the Dodgers second in the wild card. I think they're going to compete for the division, but not get it in the end. And hopefully there's a wild card spot open for them. We move down. Padres and Rockies, I don't think, are anything special this year.
Yeah. I think that the Padres have a chance of maybe going above 500.
That'd be a good season
for them. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, they don't necessarily need to make the playoffs, but I think if they show improvement in their team, I think they can. Although with Chase Headley hurt, it's not looking too great for them, but I think that they do have a chance of competing out there, and they have a decent pitching staff, and that's really the story in the NL West. If you have pitching, you can really compete.
Well, everybody has pitching, so you need pitching and hitting now.
Yep.
So it makes it a little tougher. What about your hometown D-backs? What do you see them doing this year?
I think they're going to contend. Their lineup's a lot different. Kevin Towers built this team not really around relying on one guy like a la Justin Upton to get those big hits when they need them, but they're trying to get hits from everybody throughout their lineup, not necessarily huge home runs, but kind of going a base to base kind of thing. Last night they had 15 hits against Adam Wainwright, the Cardinals ace, and obviously into their bullpen when they knocked him out of the game. But I just really like what they're doing, but I don't think they're going to be able to compete with. I think even the Dodgers are going to finish higher than them. But I do like Paul Goldschmidt a lot. That guy is going to be a lot of fun to watch as he's only going to get better for the Diamondbacks.
Right, I like the idea of not building around a star, but when you do that, you have to rely on so many guys.
Yep.
And it's not easy to drive in runs when you're relying on four different guys to get singles, as opposed to two different guys to get a single and a double and you're in. So it's not an easy brand of baseball to play if you have the guys to do it. More power to you, but I'm not going to put my money on a team that requires a lot of guys to be successful in order for them to have success.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of reminds me, I mean, it's not as proven as what the Rays have done, but I think that if they're going to have success, it'll be something like the
Rays. It needs to be
through
their system.
Absolutely.
In the same style. Unfortunately, they got rid of Justin Upton a little early. I think they needed to have him to be the leader of a young team with guys through the system like a Carl Crawford was in Tampa Bay, but it's just not going to work out that way.
But that raises the question. They traded him for a reason. So is Justin Upton not necessarily the leader type? I mean, we'll see.
Maybe they just
think
they're a few years down the road and they didn't want to pay him until they got there.
Yeah, maybe.
They have more talent to develop. They're on their way, but they're not there yet.
Yeah, I agree. I think that now that he's in Atlanta, he's the pressure's off of him and he's going to be able to flourish. And I guess we'll see as this season progresses. It'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It should be a great one. That'll do it for our preseason preview of Major League Baseball. For Gabe Cordoba-Hawthorne, I'm Josh Franz. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Base Paths.